Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving into one of the most important topics you'll encounter in your ecology unit, the principle of material cycling. This is topic 6.2, and it comes up in exams more often than you might think. Sometimes it appears as short 1 or 2 mark questions, and sometimes it's the basis of an extended 6 mark answer. So whether you're sitting your mocks or the real thing, getting this topic nailed down is absolutely worth your time. Today, we're going to cover the carbon cycle in real depth, the vital role of decomposers, how environmental conditions affect the rate of decay, and, crucially, the exam technique you need to pick up every single mark on offer. We'll finish with a quick-fire quiz so you can test yourself before you go. Ready? Let's get into it. Part 1. Why do materials cycle at all? Let's start with the big picture. Think about this. The atoms that make up your body, the carbon in your cells, the nitrogen in your proteins, the water in your blood, those atoms have been around for billions of years. They've been part of ancient forests, dinosaurs, ocean sediments, and the atmosphere. They don't get used up, they get recycled. That is the fundamental principle of material cycling. In any stable ecosystem, the materials that are removed from the environment by living organisms must eventually be returned. If they weren't, the ecosystem would run out of essential nutrients and collapse. Imagine if every plant absorbed carbon dioxide and locked it away permanently. Eventually, there would be no carbon dioxide left for photosynthesis, and all life would grind to a halt. So nature has evolved a set of interconnected processes that keep materials moving in continuous loops. The two most important cycles you need to know for your exam are the carbon cycle and the water cycle. Carbon is the backbone of all organic molecules. Carbohydrates, proteins, lipids, DNA. So understanding how it moves through living and non-living systems is absolutely essential. Water is equally critical, not just as a solvent for biochemical reactions, but as a transport medium and a reactant in photosynthesis. Let's focus on carbon first, because this is where the most exam marks are available. Carbon enters living organisms through photosynthesis. Green plants, algae, and some bacteria absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and use light energy to convert it into glucose. The word equation is carbon dioxide plus water, using light energy, produces glucose and oxygen. This is the incorporation step. Carbon is being locked into organic molecules inside the plant. When animals eat plants, that carbon passes along the food chain into the bodies of consumers. When those consumers are eaten by predators, the carbon moves again. At every stage, carbon is present in the organic molecules of living organisms. Now here's where it gets really interesting. Carbon is returned to the atmosphere through 3 main processes: respiration, decomposition, and combustion. Let's look at each one carefully. Respiration. Every living organism, plants, animals, bacteria, fungi, every single one releases carbon dioxide when it respires. Respiration is the metabolic process of breaking down glucose to release energy. The word equation is glucose plus oxygen produces carbon dioxide and water with energy released. This happens in the mitochondria of cells continuously, day and night. So respiration is constantly returning carbon to the atmosphere from every living thing on the planet. This is a point students often miss. They think only animals respire or that plants only photosynthesize. Plants do both. During the day, photosynthesis usually exceeds respiration, so plants are net absorbers of carbon dioxide. At night, when there is no light for photosynthesis, plants only respire and release carbon dioxide. For your exam, always remember, all living organisms respire and release carbon dioxide. Part 2, decomposition and the role of decomposers. Now let's talk about decomposition, because this is where a lot of students lose marks. When organisms die, their bodies contain enormous amounts of carbon locked up in organic molecules, proteins, carbohydrates, fats. If this carbon stayed locked up forever, it would never return to the atmosphere and the cycle would break down. This is where decomposers come in. Decomposers are microorganisms, specifically bacteria and fungi. These are the unsung heroes of every ecosystem. They break down dead plant and animal matter, as well as animal waste products like feces and urine. The process works like this. Decomposers secrete digestive enzymes onto the dead organic material. These enzymes break down complex organic molecules into simpler inorganic ones, a process called extracellular digestion. The decomposers then absorb the soluble products. As they carry out this process, they respire, and that respiration releases carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere. This is a critical exam point, and I cannot stress it enough. Examiners specifically want you to say that decomposers release carbon dioxide through their own respiration. Not just that decomposition releases carbon, but that it is the microorganisms respiring that releases the carbon dioxide. If you write decomposers break down dead matter and release carbon dioxide, that is good. If you just write decomposition releases carbon, you will likely lose a mark. Decomposition also releases inorganic nutrients like nitrates and phosphates back into the soil. These nutrients can then be taken up by plant roots and used to make new organic molecules. So decomposers are not just important for the carbon cycle, they are essential for the entire nutrient cycle. Without them, nutrients would remain locked in dead organisms and the soil would become increasingly infertile. Part 3. What affects the rate of decomposition? The rate of decomposition is not constant. It varies enormously depending on environmental conditions, and this is a favorite topic for exam questions. The three key factors are temperature, water content, and oxygen availability. Temperature. Decomposers are living organisms and their metabolic processes are controlled by enzymes. This means temperature has a profound effect on how quickly they work. At low temperatures, say close to freezing, enzyme activity is very low. The enzymes and substrate molecules move slowly and collide less frequently, so the rate of decomposition is very slow. As temperature increases, molecules move faster, collisions are more frequent, and enzyme activity increases. Decomposition speeds up. However, there is an optimum temperature, typically around 30 to 40 degrees Celsius for most soil bacteria, at which enzyme activity is at its maximum. If the temperature rises above this optimum, the enzymes begin to denature. Their active sites change shape and can no longer bind to substrate molecules. Decomposition slows dramatically and eventually stops. You will recognize this as exactly the same bell curve relationship you have studied for enzyme activity in general. The same principle applies here because decomposition is an enzyme-controlled process. Examiners often ask you to apply your knowledge of enzymes to explain why decomposition rates change with temperature. Make that link explicitly in your answer. Water content. Decomposers need moisture to survive and to function effectively. Water is the medium in which their enzymes operate, and it is needed to transport dissolved nutrients into and out of the microbial cells. In dry conditions, such as a desert or a very dry compost heap, decomposition is extremely slow because the microorganisms cannot function without adequate water. In moist conditions, decomposition proceeds much more rapidly. However, and this is a subtle but important point, waterlogged conditions can actually slow decomposition down. Why? Because waterlogged soil is saturated with water, which displaces the air spaces in the soil. This creates anaerobic conditions, conditions without oxygen. Most decomposers are aerobic organisms that require oxygen for their metabolic processes. In anaerobic conditions, aerobic decomposers cannot function. Decomposition still occurs, carried out by anaerobic microorganisms, but it is much slower and produces different end products. Instead of carbon dioxide, anaerobic decomposition produces methane, also known as marsh gas or biogas. This explains a fascinating real-world phenomenon, peat bogs. Peat bogs are cold, waterlogged, acidic, and anaerobic. All of these conditions dramatically slow decomposition. As a result, dead plant material accumulates over thousands of years rather than being broken down. Ancient human bodies, the so-called bog bodies, have been found preserved in peat bogs for thousands of years. Their skin and internal organs still intact because the conditions prevented decomposition. Examiners love asking about applications like this, so keep it in mind. Oxygen availability. As we have just discussed, aerobic decomposition is faster than anaerobic decomposition. In well-aerated soils, where there are plenty of air spaces, aerobic bacteria and fungi can work efficiently. In compacted or waterlogged soils, oxygen is limited and decomposition slows. Gardeners exploit this principle when they turn their compost heaps, introducing oxygen to speed up decomposition and produce compost more quickly. Part 4. Combustion and the complete carbon cycle. The third major route for carbon returning to the atmosphere is combustion, burning. When fossil fuels like coal, oil, and natural gas are burned, The carbon that was locked away in organic molecules millions of years ago is released as carbon dioxide. Fossil fuels form from the compressed remains of ancient organisms, mostly marine plankton and plants, over millions of years. When we burn them, we are releasing carbon that has been out of active circulation for geological timescales. This is why the burning of fossil fuels is such a significant driver of rising atmospheric carbon dioxide concentrations. Biomass burning, such as the burning of forests during deforestation, also releases carbon dioxide rapidly. This creates a double problem. Not only does it release carbon from the burnt trees, but it also removes the photosynthesizing organisms that would otherwise be absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. The net effect is a significant increase in atmospheric carbon dioxide. So let's now put the complete carbon cycle together. Carbon dioxide is absorbed from the atmosphere by photosynthesis in green plants and other photosynthetic organisms. Carbon passes through food chains via feeding, from producers to primary consumers to secondary consumers and beyond. Carbon is returned to the atmosphere by respiration from all living organisms. Carbon is returned to the atmosphere by decomposition, specifically through the respiration of bacteria and fungi as they break down dead organic matter. And carbon is returned to the atmosphere by combustion, the burning of fossil fuels and biomass. In a stable, undisturbed ecosystem, the processes that remove carbon from the atmosphere, primarily photosynthesis, are balanced by the processes that return it, respiration, decomposition, and natural combustion. The system is in dynamic equilibrium. It is human activity, primarily the burning of fossil fuels, that has disrupted this balance and led to the accumulation of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Part 5, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique because knowing the content is only half the battle. The most common mistake I see is candidates confusing photosynthesis and respiration in the carbon cycle. Remember this clearly. Photosynthesis removes carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Respiration returns carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. If you get those the wrong way around in an exam answer, you will lose marks immediately. A good way to remember it, photosynthesis is the process that builds things up. It builds glucose from carbon dioxide. Respiration breaks things down. It breaks glucose down and releases carbon dioxide. Build up, take in, break down, release. The second big mistake is forgetting that microorganisms respire. Students often write something like, decomposers break down dead matter and release carbon. That is incomplete. Examiners want you to say that decomposers, bacteria and fungi, break down dead organic matter and release carbon dioxide through their own respiration. The word respiration is the key mark scoring term here. Without it, you're likely to lose a mark. Third mistake, assuming decomposition only happens in aerobic conditions. It happens in both aerobic and anaerobic conditions, just at different rates. If a question asks you to compare aerobic and anaerobic decomposition, make sure you mention that aerobic decomposition is faster and produces carbon dioxide, while anaerobic decomposition is slower and produces methane. Fourth mistake, vague language. Do not write carbon is released. Write carbon dioxide is released. Do not write microbes. Write bacteria and fungi. Precision in scientific language is rewarded by examiners. For command words, if a question says explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because to link cause and effect. For example, decomposition is slower at low temperatures because enzyme activity is reduced. That is a complete explanatory statement worth 2 marks. Just saying decomposition is slower at low temperatures would only earn 1 mark. For 6 more questions on the carbon cycle, structure your answer as a complete cycle. Start with photosynthesis, removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, move through feeding and respiration, then cover decomposition, then combustion, link back to the atmosphere. Use the word carbon dioxide throughout. Aim for at least 6 distinct marking points, 1 per mark. Part 6, quickfire recall quiz. Time for your quickfire quiz. I will ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Pause the podcast if you want more thinking time. Question 1. Name the 2 types of decomposers. The answer is bacteria and fungi. Question 2. What process do plants use to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere? The answer is photosynthesis. Question 3. How does temperature affect the rate of decomposition? Higher temperatures increase enzyme activity and speed up decomposition up to the optimum temperature. Above the optimum, enzymes denature and decomposition slows. Question 4. Why is decomposition slower in waterlogged soils? Because waterlogged conditions are anaerobic, there's less oxygen available, and most decomposers are aerobic organisms that require oxygen. Question 5. Name 3 processes that return carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. Respiration, decomposition via microorganism, respiration, and combustion. Question 6. What is the difference between aerobic and anaerobic decomposition in terms of products? Aerobic decomposition produces carbon dioxide. Anaerobic decomposition produces methane. Question 7. Why does decomposition slow down at very high temperatures? Because high temperatures denature the enzymes of decomposers, changing the shape of the active site so substrates can no longer bind. Part 7. Summary and sign-off. Let's wrap up with the 5 things you absolutely must remember for your exam. 1. Carbon cycles through ecosystems via photosynthesis, respiration, decomposition, and combustion. Know each process and the direction carbon moves. 2. Decomposers are bacteria and fungi. They break down dead organic matter and release carbon dioxide through their own respiration. Always say respiration. 3. Temperature and water content affect decomposition rate because they affect the metabolic activity of microorganisms and their enzyme activity. Decomposition occurs in both aerobic and anaerobic conditions, but aerobic decomposition is faster and produces carbon dioxide, while anaerobic decomposition is slower and produces methane. 5. In a stable community, processes that remove materials from the environment are balanced by processes that return them. This dynamic equilibrium is what keeps ecosystems functioning. That is everything for today's episode on the principle of material cycling. If you can explain the carbon cycle clearly, describe the role of decomposers accurately, link environmental conditions to decomposition rates using enzyme language, and avoid the common mistakes we have discussed, you are in excellent shape for this topic. Good luck with your revision. You have absolutely got this.